Hi, I'm Phil Vavra, and this is Piedmont Arts. The Charlotte Symphony Orchestra is about to launch into its 2025-26 season with its annual gala on Thursday, September 18th at Belk Theater. I've asked the CSO's president and chief executive officer, David Fisk, to come on the podcast and tell us a little bit about that special night, as well as a few highlights of the upcoming season. Later, we'll see what else is on the calendar with fanfare, and we'll get a preview of visual arts offerings coming our way over the next year. My guest on this episode has been the president and chief executive officer of the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra since 2020. Prior to arriving in Charlotte, David Fisk worked for 18 years as the executive director of the Richmond Symphony in Virginia. He also served as the chief executive of the Ulster Orchestra in Belfast, the National Symphony of Northern Ireland, and the general manager of the Orchestra of St. John's, Smith Square in London, earlier in his career. Thank you for joining me during what must be a ridiculously busy time for you with the new season beginning this month.
It's that kind of fun, crazy time, Phil. Thanks for having me. We're really excited by all that's about to happen.
Well, is the feeling of starting this season a little different, maybe even a little better, because of the fundraising milestone that was surpassed back in the spring? Over $50 million, was it?
Yeah, we were able to draw a big breath of gratitude to all those who made that possible and put that body of work behind us and move on to enjoying the next thing. And what feels very different about the season we're about to embrace is the fact that Kwame Ryan is now really here. Although last season was his first year, because of pre-existing commitments, it wasn't possible for him to be with us as much as he was obviously looking forward to being. This season will feel as if it's really Kwame who's leading the path and conducting so many of our concerts.
Now, the big night, the gala, kicking off the season on Thursday, September 18th at Belk Theater, that is the first one that music director Kwame Ryan will be conducting, correct?
It is, and what a wonderful way to start the season. Without any apology, this is just one of those nights you just luxuriate in the most romantic of all music and just wallow in this wonderful sound of Tchaikovsky with both his violin concerto and his first symphony. We have a serious commitment to new music, as you know, and to featuring music from all ages, but sometimes it's just fun just to enjoy, you know, the height of romanticism, which is what this evening is all about.
And a guest performer that evening as well.
Yeah, one of the most respected, most musical, just a wonderful master of the violin, Gil Shaham. We've worked with Gil before. I've had the pleasure of working with him before. And Kwame asked for Gil, especially for this program. And it's just wonderful that he was available to be with us.
Another part of the CSO season that jumps off the screen is October 24th, 25th, and 26th with the CSO performing Beethoven's iconic Fifth Symphony, Amy Beach's Piano Concerto, and Judith by CSO Spotlight artist Gabriel Kahane.
Yeah, so Kwame has introduced a new feature to our classical series, which is about having a spotlight artist. Gabriel is the first of those that will be seeing in these coming years. And this piece, Judith, is the first of three works on our classical series that Gabriel is behind. And what's unique about Gabriel is the multifaceted nature of his artistry, songwriter, composer of many types of music, and performer himself. And he'll be with us for some of these performances to play and to introduce. And I think that this audience for our classical series is going to really enjoy getting to know him over the course of the season and hearing the diversity of his work. So yes, this is the first of three pieces by Gabriel that's appearing on the 24th of October. But actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back one. We also have another composer featured in the classical series on the 10th and 11th of October. That is really special too. I know Mason Bates from way back because when I was in Richmond, I had the chance to work with him there, and he's originally from Virginia. But he has close connections to the Carolinas and a personal friendship with Kwame Ryan. And not only are we featuring Mason Bates's piece, Attack, Decay, Sustain, Release, in that October the 10th and 11th classical series concert, we are also unveiling that night a new sonic logo for the Charlotte Symphony that Mason Bates has written for us. We think this is a really cool way of expressing our commitment to American music and to commissioning new music. But we're really grateful that Mason found time in his incredibly busy schedule to write a logo for us that is a logo in sound. And we'll be playing it that night, unveiling it for the world to hear. And then ever after, we'll be using Mason Bates's sonic logo as an expression of identity and a brand for the Charlotte Symphony. Very unusual to have this thing. And we don't know of any other orchestra that is associated with a composer in that kind of way. So it'll be heard for the first time in performance on the 10th, 11th of October, and then we'll be using it thereafter.
So will we be hearing that sonic logo in social media campaigns moving forward and various other applications?
Exactly, and even in such a simple way as to bring people back into the concert hall after the intermission.
Ah, very nice.
Other than a clanging bell, you'll hear Mason Bates's music saying, "Time to come back, folks. We're in for the second half."
I love that. Well, and back to November and December, some wonderful programming for the holiday season on the calendar as well.
Yes, and we always like to think about how we can welcome audiences from all over this area to Charlotte with particular themes for the holiday season. What's new for us this year is that we're working with the Jewish communities of Charlotte-Mecklenburg and putting on a program for Hanukkah. So on the fourth night of Hanukkah, we are having a Hanukkah celebration, a Festival of Lights concert that we're really looking forward to, with a chance to feature a different kind of music than the usual Christmas fair. We have that as well, but we also wanted to pay respect to the other religions that celebrate the holidays in their own ways at this time. And to make it a Festival of Lights, because we'd like to welcome the Jewish community and others for whom light is such an important expression of hope at this time of year. That's something which we're doing new. But there are also the favorites that folks look forward to. And bringing back Home Alone, the movie in concert, it's already selling really well. I don't know what it is about that movie that people feel is just so fun and so so much a favorite of the time of year, given the subject matter. But it's a very popular movie, and we're looking forward to doing that over Thanksgiving weekend to kick off the holiday season. With other of our holiday favorites, like the Holiday Brass and Organ in Concert that comes back, and our Carolina Christmas Holiday Pops. And then, of course, it isn't Christmas without Messiah.
Of course. And another aspect of the Charlotte Symphony schedule that I really enjoy, and not just because of the beer, it's the On Tap series, with performances at a handful of local breweries over the course of the season. And I just love the switching up of the environment in which one can experience the music.
Yeah, those concerts are incredibly popular, and we've actually added some more. We've added some repeat on taps this year, because it is frustrating to people when they want to come and find that the tickets are already sold out. And what I love about those too is this chance for the orchestra to shine in smaller ensembles. And often some of these programs are curated by the musicians themselves and presented by the musicians. So it's nice to hear their voice. To hear their programmatic voices, but to literally hear them speak, to introduce the music and to be so up close and personal. I'll give away a secret here, which is one of the pieces on the program for one of these concerts is the Haydn Farewell Symphony. And I don't know if all of your listeners are familiar with the story, but Haydn's musicians were exhausted by the demands of the Esterházy estate and the prince, and they were in badly need of a vacation. So Haydn wrote this symphony. And in the last movement, the musicians leave the stage one by one, leaving just at the end a pair of violins playing and an empty stage. And it was a very sophisticated way of hinting to the prince, come on, give us a break. Well, I imagine for this program that the musicians are going to leave the stage and end up at the bar to have some of our patrons buy them a drink. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if that were to happen? I think it might.
Well, from what I understand, it was very effective with the prince, so your plan could work, and it could work out very well for the Charlotte Symphony musicians. We've only scratched the surface of this big and delightfully varied 2025-26 season with the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra. Again, it all begins Thursday, September 18th with the gala. Virtuoso Gil Shaham will be in town. It's a night of Tchaikovsky with Kwame Ryan conducting his first gala performance. I encourage you to visit the website, charlottesymphony.org, to see the complete schedule and get all the other information you'll need to attend these many performances. David Fisk is the president and CEO of the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for your time. I know how busy you are right now, and all the best this season.
Thank you so much. And I want to put in one final plug for our partnership, because we really appreciate the fact that some of these programs are going to be broadcast live. And that's always that extra element of excitement that makes musicians sit that a little bit further forward in their seats, knowing that this is going out to a much wider audience than simply those in the concert hall. So we thank you for our partnership, and we appreciate your listeners for their support of WDAV.
Thank you, David. And those three Charlotte Symphony Orchestra live broadcasts on WDAV include the Bates Shostakovich Concert on October 11th, the Howard Kahane Tchaikovsky Concert Program on February 14th, Valentine's Day, and the concert featuring works by Higdon, Copland, and Kahane again on May 16th. Now let's see what else there is to do over the next week with fanfare. Theater Charlotte also begins its new season, its 98th season, with the outrageous and hilarious Little Shop of Horrors, September 12th through 28th. Set to a 1960s-inspired rock and roll, doo-wop, and Motown soundtrack, the beloved musical tells the story of hapless florist Seymour Krelborn, who pines for his co-worker Audrey while having to contend with the bloodthirsty and carnivorous plant Audrey II. The University of North Carolina School of the Arts in Winston-Salem is featuring two exciting performances over the next week. On Saturday, September 13th, Michelle Merrill, conductor of the Winston-Salem Symphony, leads the UNCSA Symphony Orchestra in a program of works highlighted by Edward Elgar's famed Enigma Variations at Brendel Recital Hall. Then on Tuesday, September 16th, the Reynolda Quartet bids farewell to summer with guest violist Scott Rawls. They'll perform Felix Mendelssohn's famous string quartet in A minor, Opus 13, and Johannes Brahms's delightful and tender string quartet in B flat, Opus 67, at Watson Hall. All are invited to the annual Davidson Fall Arts Festival on Saturday, September 13th from 4 to 8 p.m. Over 50 participating local artists will be set up in historic downtown Davidson. In addition to the fine art, you'll be able to purchase handmade gifts, food at local restaurants, make kids' crafts, and enjoy live music. And Organ at Davidson, now in its 20th season, is hosting an afternoon of silent movies at 3:30 on Sunday, September 14th at Davidson College Presbyterian Church. Organist Dorothy Papadakos will accompany three classic Charlie Chaplin films. So bring your kids and grandchildren to experience what watching movies was like long before Netflix. Admission is free, and there will be snacks. And that's less than half of what you'll find on my complete fanfare column at WDAV.org. So go check it out and then go have some fun. Now it's time for another in our series of fall arts previews. This week, visual arts. David Borax is here to talk about what's coming up at some of the art museums and galleries across the Piedmont. Hi, David. What do you have for us?
Hey, Phil. If you're a gallery goer, as I am, I think you've got a lot to look forward to in the coming months, from traditional to modern art. I'm talking about everything from futuristic sneaker designs and European paintings to modernism and a group show of black male artists.
Okay, well, let's start out with the Mint Museum. And we're talking here about both locations, the Mint Uptown and the Mint Randolph.
Right. As the Charlotte region's major art museum, the Mint really tries to be what CEO Todd Herman calls, quote, a broker of new and different experiences.
Education and understanding are really the key components to good decision-making. And that applies not just to anything involving the arts, but that applies to sort of all aspects of our lives, personal and business and work-related. The more information you have and the more education you have about a subject, the better your decisions are going to be.
So how is that reflected in the Mint's exhibits this year?
Well, there's a mix of the expected and unexpected shows that will appeal to a wide range of viewers. On September 20th, they're opening Future Now, Virtual Sneakers to Cutting-Edge Kicks. It's a show about how shoes, and in particular sneakers, have changed over time, and it imagines the future of footwear with new technology and materials. Another exhibit called Central Impact, Skateboarding's Art and Influence, has hundreds of colorfully decorated skateboard decks. Those are both running through January 4th at the Mint Museum Randolph.
Very cool. Now, what about those who prefer more traditional work?
Yeah, they've got that too, with exhibits of European paintings and Baroque art. Renaissance, Romanticism, and Rebellion, European art from the Smith-Nafee collection, opens October 11th at the Mint Museum Uptown and runs through February. There's also a show of Baroque masterpieces from the collection of the Robert Longhi Foundation. And also worth noting is a show of African art, Designing Dynamism, Kuba Textiles from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Todd Herman tells me you've probably seen a lot of these designs. They're hot in the textile world right now. This show is from the collection of Wesley Mancini, who is himself a local textile designer. That's coming up in February through next August. And the Mint also has an ongoing mini-exhibit of three works on loan from the National Gallery in Washington, pieces by Georgia O'Keeffe, Edgar Degas, and Alma Thomas. It's part of a traveling art program to celebrate the country's 250th birthday.
All right, let's go across the street to the Gantt Center for African American Arts and Culture.
They got a few things worth noting. It's the final days of Black Behind Bars, the untold story of black biker culture. That's an exhibit of photos by Charlotte photographer and activist Alvin C. Jacobs, Jr. It ends September 21st.
You covered that for Piedmont Arts earlier, didn't you?
That's right. I really enjoyed that interview with Alvin. You can listen at wdav.org/podcasts.
So what do they have when that closes?
Actually, two other shows are already open. One is called Chop Shop, We Are Here. That's through October 26th, and it features work by members of the Chop Shop Artist Collective. It's a group of black and brown male artists who use art to confront the issues and challenges they face in their lives. Then there's Adrian Nieves, A Time for Furious Dancing. That runs through January 4th, and she's a self-taught artist born in Texas. These new and recent paintings explore the effects of trauma, ancestral, inherited, historical, and personal, on identity and behavior. And you want to check out the semi-permanent installation Forget Me Not. That's a show of archival photographs of everyday black Americans from the late 1800s to the early 1900s.
So everyone who visits Uptown sees the Firebird, that towering sculpture by Nikki de Saint-Phalle in front of the Beckler Museum on South Tryon Street. But what's inside?
You know, the Beckler is really a gem here in Charlotte, a world-class museum of modern art. And it began only in 2010 to house modern art from the Beckler family collection. They've got everything from Calder to Picasso to Warhol and a lot more. Executive Director Todd Smith explained.
We tell the story of modern and now contemporary art from 1900 to today through our collection, but also through traveling exhibitions that we host from around the world and that we organize ourselves.
And what's coming up this fall at the Beckler?
I want to mention two exhibits that run through November 3rd. One is Departures and Arrivals, Art and Transnational Exchange. That's a show from the Permanent Collection looking at how artists have drawn inspiration across international boundaries through travel and displacement. Another show features works from the Beckler's Permanent Collection by Anthony Tapias. He was a self-taught Spanish artist known for experimenting with materials and symbols. And then in October, they'll open a show called Assembly Lines, Modernism and Machines. It includes work from 1915 to the present, says Todd Smith.
The show really does look at 110 years of artistic engagement with technology as it has changed, as technology has offered utopian visions of the future and also very scary visions of our present.
It's about 80 works, most from the collection, but others borrowed, and that show runs October 18th through February 2nd. And finally, from March to August next year, the Beckler has David McGee, The Griot and the Nightingale. It's the first major museum survey of the career of the Louisiana-born McGee, has nearly 100 paintings and works on paper, including figurative and abstract works that use literary and pop cultural references to offer social commentary.
All right, David, we're here in Davidson, so it only makes sense to look down the street at the Davidson College Art Galleries. What can people see there right now?
Right now, it's Explorations, New Works by Faculty. That's the annual art faculty show. You'll see work in a variety of media by Joel Dietrich, Luis Sahagun, Tyler Starr, and Katie St. Clair. I always look forward to this one, Phil. It's a chance to see what some of our artist neighbors are working on. That one's up through October 1st.
Speaking of neighbors, what about UNC Charlotte?
Well, when I have time in downtown Charlotte, I like to check out the Projective Eye Gallery at UNC Charlotte Center City on 9th Street. Right now, they've got Under the Influence, Kirsten Stolle, on display through October 17th. She's an Asheville artist who combines art, science, and culture to examine the global influence of chemical companies on our food system. Her text-based works include collages, images, and installations. Also, opening October 31st and running to January 14th, it's Miniature Monumental. That's a group show of artists all exploring one question. How does the size of an artwork affect viewers?
Well, let's head up the road to the North Carolina Museum of Art, Winston-Salem.
Yeah, this is the museum formerly known as SECA, or Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art. On view through December 27th there, it's Brandon Sadler, The Path of Totality. That's a collection of ink paintings and calligraphic works that tell stories. And opening October 23rd and running through December 27th, it's We Belong Here, the Gutierrez Collection. This is the first public exhibit of the collection assembled by North Carolina collectors One Gutierrez and Jeff Childers. It features work by 40 contemporary artists in a variety of media, focusing on social, political, cultural, and personal issues.
And finally, I want to ask you about the Hickory Museum of Art. I hear no art there for a while.
That's right. The museum closed September 1st for a $5.8 million renovation. They're making improvements for exhibitions, adding space to store their growing collection, expanding the education wing, and building a new business office, boardroom, and catering kitchen. But they're not going away. A spokeswoman told me they'll be having local artist exhibits starting this fall at the Valley Hills Mall and other programs around the community.
And when will the project be finished?
The Hickory Museum of Art plans to reopen in a year.
Well, that's all the time we have for Thank You, David.
You're welcome, Phil.
And thank you for listening. You can hear more episodes at wdav.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and on iHeart Podcasts. For Piedmont Arts and David Borax, I'm Phil Vavra.